Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estala with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 19th of August, the synchronous 232nd day of 2024. We have 134 days remaining on our way to 2025. This past week, my daughter Jessica had a birthday. 3 years before she was born, I was a 17-year-old at the opening night of an event originally billed as the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, a gathering I had only found out about that morning, when three long-haired hippies accosted me at New York's Port Authority bus terminal, where I was about to buy a ticket back down to Washington, D.C., because my Volkswagen Squareback had not arrived on the weekly boat to Port Elizabeth from Europe. "There's a big concert about to happen upstate in Bethel, man," one of them said to me, adding, "but we've only got today to see what's going on, and we need some bread to fill up the Chevy. Want to help? We already got plenty of reefer and beer." Although this sudden opportunity was headed the opposite direction from my return to a friend's place in Silver Spring, Maryland, I agreed to the trio's plan to see and hear the opening acts at the festival and then return to New York City. Off we went, arriving several hours later to stalled traffic upstate and walking the last few miles to the concert venue. With Richie Havens starting to play around 5 o'clock in the evening, successive acts included Sweetwater, Burt Summer, Tim Hardin, Ravi Shankar, Melanie, Arlo Guthrie, and Joan Baez, finishing up before dawn as the drizzle turned to rain. Another 3 mile walk and we were at the car. By noon Saturday, the boys had returned me to Port Authority just in time to board a Greyhound bound for D.C. A little over a fortnight ago, I was reminded of the joys of live music up close and personal at Pirate's Patio, quite well placed on Old Orchard Beach, where my friend Dan Baumert sang a duet of In Spite of Ourselves with Susan Elias of the group Seagrass, who were gigging there for the afternoon. Dan and Susan covered John Prine's and Iris DeMent's tune in good shape, judging by the audience singing along enthusiastically. Older than a lot of us, though nonetheless eternally timely concerning ourselves individually and in relation to one another, is a poem Ogden Nash wrote way back in 1942, called So That's Who I Remind Me Of. He begins with, "When I consider men of golden talents, I'm delighted in my introverted way to discover, as I'm drawing up the balance, how much we have in common, I and they." And then, line by line, he compares himself with no fewer than 15 famous writers and subsequently supplies a concluding stanza. "In comparison with men of golden talents, I am all a man of talent ought to be. I resemble every genius in his vice, however heinous, yet I write so much like me." Heavenward, tonight we'll have August's full moon, known variously as the sturgeon moon, the flying up moon, the corn moon, the harvest moon, the ricing moon, the black cherries moon, and the mountain shadows moon. Because it is almost at perigee, or closest to the earth, this month's full moon is also a supermoon, along with being a blue moon, because it is the third of four full moons in a single season. Tonight, the full moon will lie near the planet Saturn, in the southeast sky, too. Today, in 43 BC, Octavian, soon to be known as Augustus, compelled the Roman Senate to elect him consul. Today, in 1274, Edward I was crowned King of England at Westminster Abbey. Today, in 1692, another five people were hanged in Salem, Massachusetts, for witchcraft. Today, in 1745, Bonnie Prince Charlie ignited the Jacobite Rising. Today, in 1791, almanac publisher Benjamin Banneker wrote to Thomas Jefferson, questioning his pro-slavery stance and requesting justice for African Americans. Today, in 1839, Louis Daguerre's daguerreotype process was published as a gift to the world by the French government. Today, in 1887, Dmitry Mendeleev ascended solo in a hot air balloon to an altitude of 11,500 feet above Klin, Russia, to observe an eclipse. Today in 1895, American outlaw John Wesley Hardin was shot and killed by John Selman in an El Paso saloon. Today in 1897, the first electric taxis were driven in London. Today, in 1969, the film adaptation of Arlo Guthrie's song Alice's Restaurant premiered. Today, in 1921 in El Paso, Texas, Sergeant Eugene Edward Roddenberry, who had served in the U.S. Cavalry in France during World War I, and his 16-year-old wife, Caroline Goldman Roddenberry, welcomed their new son, Gene Wesley Roddenberry, into the world. Less than a year later, the family moved to Southern California, where Sergeant Roddenberry became a Los Angeles police officer. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that young Gene was a good student and a science fiction fan. At Los Angeles City College, he studied pre-law and police studies and became a pilot through the civilian pilot training program. At the advent of World War II, young Roddenberry became a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Air Corps and flew B-17 bombers, as he was too tall to be a fighter pilot. He flew 80 missions in the South Pacific and was shot down once, surviving, though his navigator and bombardier were killed. He earned a Distinguished Flying Cross for his wartime service. After the war, Gene became a Pan Am pilot, but a crash killing 14 in the Syrian desert persuaded him to leave flying and to follow his father into the Los Angeles Police Department, employment that provided him with material for script writing, which was bringing him $700 per week, in contrast to the $440 per month he was being paid as a police officer. Soon he was writing full-time for shows such as Dragnet, Naked City, Have Gun Will Travel, and Highway Patrol. Producing his own series, The Lieutenant, established him as a contender in the television industry. In the early 1960s, Gene persuaded Lucille Ball, to whom CBS had given $500,000 to develop new programs for her studio, Desilu, to bankroll a pilot for a series which NBC would eventually buy, one that debuted on September 8, 1966, and was called Star Trek, eventually also becoming a successful series of movies and a line of books and merchandising. Gene's father, after seeing the first show, apologized to his neighbors, telling them not to worry because his son would soon be back to writing real television, meaning westerns. Today is also the birthday in 1580 of the French mathematician and inventor of the vernier caliper, Pierre Vernier. In 1646, of the first astronomer royal, Englishman John Flamsteed. In 1689, of English novelist Samuel Richardson, and 1751, of American physician and patriot warning Massachusetts Minutemen that the British were coming, Samuel Prescott. In 1785, of American clockmaking pioneer Seth Thomas. In 1790, of the British clockmaker originally commissioned to create Big Ben, Edward John Dent. In 1808, of the Scottish inventor of the steam hammer, James Nasmyth. In 1851, of American pharmacist and root beer manufacturer, Charles E. Hyers. In 1871, of American aviator Orville Wright. In 1883, of French fashion designer Coco Chanel, and of American actress Elsie Ferguson. In 1899, of American actress Colleen Moore. In 1902, of American poet Ogden Nash. In 1904, of American actress June Collier. In 1908, of American jazz bassist Al Morgan. In 1914, of Japanese composer Fumio Hayasaka. In 1919, of American publisher Malcolm Forbes. In 1931, of American jockey Bill Shoemaker. In 1934, of American tennis player Rene Richards. In 1935, of American R&B singer Earl Gaines, and of American astronaut Story Musgrave. In 1939, of English drummer Ginger Baker. In 1940, of American actress Jill St. John, of American reggae singer-songwriter Johnny Nash, and of British songwriter Roger Cook. in 1946 of 42nd U.S. President Bill Clinton, in 1947 of American actor Gerald McRaney, in 1948 of American Second Lady Tipper Gore, in 1965 of American actress Kyra Sedgwick, in 1966 of American country singer Leanne Womack, and in 1969 of American and Canadian actor Matthew Perry. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the ninth full week of summer and to the 34th week of 2024.